Where is our fearless leader this week?
I don't know. We got a cryptic message from him today saying, shall we just skip till next week?
Because he's tired.
I mean, what a big girl's blouse. You were at Croydon over the weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, well, apparently so are you. But you didn't bother to tell anyone you were coming down.
I literally have no clue what you're talking about.
Come on. Yeah, I can tell you're confused. But so was I, because a man with no hair, a little taller than me, and glasses from across the field yelled at me and Duffy. So we were walking back after the second round, or first round. And he was like, Duffy! And I was like, why is Bowen here? And then Duffy laughed, and he's like, that's not Bowen, that's John Hood. I was like, it confused the heck out of me, because he sounded just like you, but he came up to me later and said that he was trying to sound like you, and that's why I was so confused. But like, from 100 yards out, you guys kind of look the same.
There is a bit of a difference between the Scottish accent and the Brummy accent, so I suppose if he was trying to mimic me, then maybe I could understand it. I am a little bit taller than John, I will say that. And also, Josh, podcast exclusive.
What?
I'm growing my hair again.
Wow.
Except, look at that, mate.
I
took a photo of that today, and I've decided I'm going to shave it off again. You know what it's like. You're seasoned like me. You don't realise how lucky you are when you've got your hair, do you?
Well, you know, I've almost made it 40 years old, so I think I'm doing okay. But I just, you know, there's a little bit of jealousy when you see like an older man with like a full head of hair. You know what I mean?
Shane Barron.
Yes, Shane Barron. Yeah.
Shane Barron's got hair coming out of his ears. He's that hairy, hasn't he?
Maybe we could borrow some of his.
Exactly. I did think if, and I'm not conceited, I'm not vain. If, for whatever reason, saying the chains blew up, we're worth £10 million, I would consider going over to Turkey and getting one of the ops done.
Is that where they just, like, hammer pieces of hair into your head?
I don't know where they take it from, but they take hair and then they do, yeah, they just stitch it into your head. Oof. Now, I don't know the longevity of it. But have you seen the videos of all the blokes on the plane and they've got like the red raw head and just little bits poking out?
Oh man, I don't know if it's worth it, to be honest with you. I don't know.
I'm longing for having long hair again and looking at myself in the mirror or taking a photo of me top of my head, it's made me realise that it's probably never going to happen again.
Couldn't you just like have a little black like spray paint just kind of for the day, you know?
I've done it as a joke. I've covered it in marker pen before as a joke. Like, and it looks all right, but the other issue I have is I'm mostly grey now as well, Josh.
Like, it looks pretty dark in the camera.
Oh, it might do because it's a crappy camera, but if I showed you... it's the same camera, so it's not going to make a difference. If I showed you the photos that I took earlier...
No, the ladies like it salt and pepper, you know?
Yeah, they do, but maybe not 33 turning 34 year old. Maybe in a distinguished George Clooney 50s.
Just tell them you're 47 going on 48.
No, because my missus already takes the mick out of me for being old, even though there's 4 years difference between us, and she's going to be 30 this year. But she won't accept that. She tells everyone she's 21, you see.
Oh, so. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, she's pretty young.
So,
I used to not think that was young, but now I know that's young.
Now you know, yeah. Exactly. I'm thinking every single like lad who's anywhere between the age of, like, let's say, 17 and 28, I'm like, enjoy these years. Enjoy them. Like, just go out and enjoy it. Grow your hair. Don't get settled down. Go and do it, because once you get past it, like, it's a bit cringy if I'm out partying somewhere, isn't it? I think now.
Yeah, and it becomes harder anyway. Whether you want to go out and do it or not, it's going to hurt.
Well, you know what it's like, Josh. I used to be 18. I used to be an apprentice. I used to earn 150 quid a week. That was it, 150 quid. I'd be out four nights a week on that. And I'd go out on a Thursday night. I'd have 2 hours sleep. I'd be blind drunk. Not very good for an electrician, but I was only an apprentice, so I didn't do anything anyway. And I'd get up and I'd be absolutely fine at work on Friday. And then I'd be out down a pub on Friday night. Now, this isn't a way to live your life, Mike. Let me add that. You shouldn't be drunk all the time. But I could do it. I had one beer tonight at my brother's. I've been drunk a couple of times this year, and it has been the worst hangover ever.
Yeah. Rich Wood was telling me, I don't know how old he is, actually. Late 50s? Anyway, he was telling me, one beer feels great. He has two beers. He has a hangover. I'm like, is that two what beers? I have to look forward to? But yeah, you're right. People should enjoy it while they can. Maybe this is why Duffy isn't here tonight, because I think they went out on Friday and then Saturday they got into something else. I can't remember what he said they did, but anyway, you know, when you're away for a tournament, you're gonna have fun with friends. And I was meant to meet them on Friday night and I just didn't do it because I felt like an old man.
And Josh, it was shambolic anyway, because he booked the wrong... This is a thing, I've realised now, after a couple of years of like going away and playing tournaments with Duffy, don't let him organise anything, because I'm gonna throw him under the bus. He's not here to defend himself.
That's what you get.
He booked the table at the restaurant for the wrong day.
Yep.
I was ringing up the restaurant trying to see if they could... He wasn't even bothered about it. I wasn't even going to be there. And I picked up the phone to try and get them a table. Like, and Duffy just didn't give a crap.
Well, that's a kind of another reason. Because I thought we were going to this nice barbecue spot. So I was like, yeah, I'd be in for that. It's at London Bridge, not far. And then Dale says, because Duff got the booking wrong, he's like, oh, we'll just go to Nando's. I'm like, I'm not going to Nando's on a Friday night, like, ever.
And where did they end up, Josh?
They ended up at one of my favorite restaurants, Flatiron, but they didn't tell me until they got there, just to make me feel bad. And then they got free Wagyu steaks at the end of their meal because someone messed up in the kitchen.
I asked Duffy, I actually spoke to him on the phone today, and I asked him about that, and I said, was that genuine? And he said, 100% genuine, they got free steaks.
4 hours later.
All right, well, shall we get going? It's already been half an hour.
I can't believe it, Josh. We get off on a tangent, don't we?
That's right. It won't be half an hour by the time people are listening to it.
I think it will be. I think all this has been valid, Josh.
Yeah, there might be a clip here and there, but nothing.
Okay.
It's good. No, it's good. It's good.
Let's get on with it then.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yank. Let's get started.
I just saw myself in the screen and I didn't realize how cool I looked.
You do look. I'm sorry for my French, everyone. Cool as fuck.
Yeah. I turned my self view off for the meetings because it just makes me like look at myself and like question like, oh, wait, don't look like that. Or, you know, it's weird. I don't like it.
It doesn't matter because no one sees you anyway.
I know, but I see me and then I'm just like staring at myself.
I focus on you and solely you.
Well, that's why I did it, because I want to focus on you, Bowen.
Perfect. Come, whilst we haven't got him here... Oh, we need to start the show, Josh. We ain't got him here. You're going to have to start.
Oh, I have to do an intro. Okay. Welcome to another episode of In the Chains. On the T-Box tonight with me as always, is Bowen.
Good evening.
Not on the tee, probably in the tub. Duffy.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Josh. Vindication, that's all I'm going to say. I had a go at him before we recorded, and I had a go at him when we were online. How bad? I knew it, and I think you did. You were just too nice to say.
Well, I didn't think... I knew it wasn't going to be great audio, but it actually turned out to be worse than I thought. At least he admitted it.
He won't admit that. Maybe this is why he's not here tonight.
Because he didn't want to own it.
He knew he'd get a grilling and he wanted to avoid it. He won't. Did he admit? He admitted it to me and you.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we have it in writing. We have it in a WhatsApp group. Will he ever admit it to anyone else?
I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I think he's just going to act like he's happy with himself and he can do whatever he wants.
And at least we were there to call him out for it, Josh.
I've got another thing to call him out for just before we really get going here.
Go on then.
Do you know anyone that putts with ESP zones?
Only one.
Yeah, well, it ain't right. It ain't right. But if I'm being honest, he did make a couple of nice putts with it.
Okay. Only a couple.
Well, like a couple of nice long ones. I mean, he made like some good, like standard ones he should be making. But even when he missed, it was like just an inch low on the cage, but like dead center. So it actually, he looked like he was pretty confident with it after a while, but still, it still just rubs me the wrong way.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
He loves it. He loves it. I think he does it in spite of me. Maybe I'm being selfish, but...
Self-absorbed. He does that just to annoy me. Talking about the ESP zones, they're not the most stable, though, are they?
It depends. I have some I think are super overstable, and then I have some that aren't. But the Z ones... Like the Essex ones we got last year, they're like straight.
Yeah, I thought that when I threw mine.
It's weird. So I was like, this is not exactly useless, but it's not why you buy a zone. So it's like, maybe I'll put it in with the stable one and I have an option. But like, yeah, it's almost a different disc.
Would you be as annoyed with him if he was using a jawbreaker zone?
No, I would not. I would not.
Thank you. I've had this argument with him. No one should be putting with premium plastic.
Well, and the people listening have heard this conversation over and over because he just continues to do it. Like if he were on the pro tour doing that and like finishing top tens, I wouldn't question it.
But he's not.
None of us are. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, shouldn't do it. Stop doing it. He did actually bring my putter out like for warm-ups, and I got excited, and I said, oh, you're going to use it? And he said, just for warm-ups, only have the one zone.
That blows my mind. How can you warm up with more than one disc and then be different discs?
There you go. There you go.
The kid, though. But the problem is, you could be adamant with him that the sky's blue and he'd still argue that it's green. Do you know what I mean? You can't tell the kid anything. He's a lovely lad. I have a really good relationship with him. But he will never admit he is wrong over anything.
I used to think you were the conspiracy theory guy. I think he has now been bitten by the bug.
Oh, Josh... I am a skeptic, but I like to follow like mainstream stuff. My sort of point is, why would they lie to us about? I get that governments lie to us. There's a lot of things we don't need to know. I understand that, but why would they lie to us about certain things that don't really matter? Whereas Duffy. He is a lot more of a whack job than I am. Let's put it that way. He sends me stuff and he's like, explain this. And I'm like, well, it's obvious, you moron.
All right.
What made you believe that? Was he talking to you at the weekend?
No, you were just going on about how you could tell him the sky was blue and not green, and he would say it's green. But yeah, he just has those opposing ideas for everything, you know, because he doesn't want to believe what the man is telling him.
Exactly. Which
I know it's not all true, but he's got some ridiculous things. Him and Dale, I think they just get us wound up. I don't know.
Oh, them two, they play up. Right, so for the listeners, we're in a WhatsApp group with the Sham side. As much as we pretend like we hate them, we do actually like them. They're nice lads. Now that they know they're the inferior podcast, like, it sort of balanced itself out, hasn't it, Josh?
Yeah, definitely.
And Rob and Dale are great lads. By the way, I want to talk about Rob. Sent the funniest photo ever into the group of some bloke in a pond.
Yeah.
And it's become, we need to find a way of sharing this to our listeners. It's become the new profile picture for our WhatsApp group in the Chains podcast WhatsApp group. Oh my God. I nearly cracked. I literally cried my eyes out at that photo. How funny is it?
I just pulled it up like, for the first time in like a week. It is so good.
It actually looks like Duff, doesn't it? It does look like Duff.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
Anyway, back.
We'll leave him alone. So this is supposed to be the, what have you been up to section?
Is that where we are?
Okay.
I haven't been up to a lot, mate, to be honest. Well, so it's pointless asking me.
All right. Well, let's just move on to the news then, because mine is involved in the news anyway.
Yes, it is. Let's move on to the news. When I found where I've saved my information, which I probably haven't, I've got it.
While you're doing that, we'll just get a quick word from our sponsors.
Buy your discs from In the Chain Shop. Buy your discs from In the Chain Shop.
And now on to
Owen's fake news.
Do you ever feel weird just sitting there not saying anything, knowing that we're going to add something in?
Yes. And it does feel weird. It doesn't really matter how long we stop, because we're going to have to adjust it anyway. But I feel like we need to set a timer to what those are, and then I don't have to edit so much.
We always seem to pause for a similar amount of time, though, don't we?
Mm.
It's even though we could just pause for half a second.
It's right at the peak of our awkwardness. We're like, can't take it anymore. And we're like, okay. Yeah,
we're strange eggs, aren't we? So, I would like to first talk about, there were two tournaments at the weekend. We'll start off with the one that had 120 players at. That number's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm talking about Josh's home tournament, the Croydon Mistral. Now, it was a good tournament from what I heard, Josh.
Yeah, it was good. There was some unfortunate amount of rain basically the whole week leading up to the tournament, but it didn't rain on us at all during the tournament. Friday, basically three people came out for practice, and well, maybe more than that, but everyone I talked to regretted going out there, and no one finished their round.
Did Duffy not finish his?
Oh yeah, I think they did actually play a full one, but they got there kind of before the big showers hit. But yeah, I was out there trying to do the Mandos, and I was playing around with Stan and Adam Reed, just kind of, I was plugging along with them while I was painting, and we quit after six holes. And all the paint that I put down for the Mandos and the drop zones all just washed away. Straight away.
So
nothing even got done.
Did you manage to record your round? Your three-hole challenge?
No, that got cancelled due to rain as well.
Tell you what, you Ace boys ain't got the commitment like us, have you?
You know what? I showed up to the course in Ace gear, ready to record. I think Michael Sharkey, because I called him out for the challenge, told Bubba to cancel it. Maybe paid him some money. I don't know.
Is bottle job the word of the day?
It's the phrase that pays. No. You would not want a camera in that weather. And he normally does like a drone flight as well. And that just, it wasn't going to happen.
The drone would have got very wet.
But yeah, the tournament went good. Obviously, it was a little muddy, but we covered the 3 out of 4 of the tees that we hadn't done yet in just temporary turf. And that seemed to work out pretty well. There was only like 1 or 2 tees that you kind of had to worry about slipping on, which is nice compared to what it used to be. Yeah. And given that amount of mud. So I think it played pretty well. But yeah, the weather turned out. Sunday was sunny, almost no wind. So it was a good finish.
Very good, very good. I would say it wasn't without its controversies.
No, it was not.
We had one of our team members treated poorly. I'll have to have words with Phil Wood.
I know. Over this. I told the Condor.
Here's Josh. Josh screwed it up for him.
I told him. I said, if Phil wasn't so nice, I'd go cuss him out for you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were the one that told him to go for his lunch.
No. But no, I don't. That's a weird one. And yeah, it definitely sucks for the Condor. But you can't get that back, you know? The round is gone.
No, the round's gone. What time did he come back?
I think he was ready at the tee at like 3:30, which is the PDGA site said, but I don't know why it would have said that, and then they had a different start time.
In that sort.
I was supposed to tee off like an hour as soon as we got done, or an hour after we got done with the first round.
If it was like that, could he not have argued, well, let me play my round, I'm here for the time it says, or is that logistically impossible?
I suppose if he's
on his own as well.
I've never encountered this particular, you know, scenario, so I don't know. But it seems like there would be a case for that.
But who would go with him?
When it's all 5 a card, you can't really just throw a 6er in there. And then you're worried about rate of play. And 'cause Phil was out on the course actively, like, not pushing cards to go faster, but just making sure everyone's playing at a decent pace and not taking too long. And, you know, he got 120 people through there 3 times in about 3 hours. What?
119.
Oh, sorry. I was like, wait. But yeah, he got us through there. I think we had 3 hour rounds average, which is really, really good.
It's not too bad for tournaments.
No,
yeah.
I can remember a year or two ago, same event. I think we had a 4 hour or maybe 4.5 hour round once.
Was that shotgun start, was it?
It was because of my card, I think. We had a lost disc, it felt like, every hole.
Oh.
Yeah, shotgun start as well, so that's, I don't know. It was not good, but this go-around, I just couldn't believe you got 120 people through there twice in one day in a public park.
Was Phil cracking the whip, was he?
Yeah, no, I mean, you kind of had to, I think, to make that happen, but yeah, most people played with good speed, like just comfortable, not taking too long or too short, hopefully.
Did you enjoy the golf starts?
Yeah, I like it. The only thing I don't like about it is the sociability side. It's you don't see everyone at like a big lunch break.
No.
So it's like some people that I wanted to see, I didn't even really talk to. Like I would see them on the course passing, going from one hole to the next and just like, oh, hey. But that was it, you know, and at your home course, you kind of want to like host and see everyone, and yeah. So that was kind of weird, but
how does that work on the last day then if your golf start? Because and then have you got to wait round for everyone to have their tee times before you have your playoffs? Or
so you do. On Saturday we had the two rounds, so we just stayed in the same groups for the two rounds.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, reorganized everyone into division and score.
Yeah.
So it was all pretty close by. Like, you'd set out the MPO cards one after the next, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if anybody caught up on Chase card and got on the finals, they would be right behind you, you know, essentially.
Okay.
So it was, yeah, it worked out good.
And I'm guessing by the time you got round, the last group had gone or was close to going, so then you could dive on pretty quick for your final nine, or...
Yeah, we only waited like 30 minutes to do the final nine.
Did that affect you in any way, or was it...
No, we just kind of milled around the practice basket, do some putts, do some drives, and kind of...
Beating up 17-year-olds.
Yeah, trying.
Should we talk about the results?
Yep.
So in MPO, we had Ben Holding taking the win with 11 under. His closest rival was who, Josh?
An old man with a hurt foot and going bald.
Mr. Josh Birmingham. Now, I was looking at it. You were a little away from him before the final nine, weren't you?
Yeah, I think
but
it
you
was.
You clawed it back fairly well.
6-7 strokes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of work to do. And he played great the whole weekend. It's kind of like annoyingly good. He would step up anything within like 50 feet. You just kind of knew he was going to make it. And then he would. Yeah, and then you're like, well... And then scenarios where you think, okay, right, I've got him on this hole. I'm going to get a birdie. He's actually going to take a par. Then he would, like, big putt you. He would take the birdie, and then you would take the par.
So he's messing with you mentally.
Yeah, it's just like, man, what... I can't do it. If I don't birdie every hole, it's not going to happen. So, well played to him. It's exciting to see him get this good so quick.
I mean, we knew he was good a couple of years ago, but he has just kicked it up a gear, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it's the mullet.
Has he got a mullet?
Have you not seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Apparently, he's now mullet boy.
I'm actually disappointed because a few years ago, I kicked the mullet back into fashion single-handedly.
That was kind of another reason he was annoying, because I would as well, like even now, but I can't.
No, exactly.
I can have mullet.
What's a reverse mullet on the front?
No, just like shave down the middle and leave the sides.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually. I like the idea of that.
It's basically just like old like horseshoe hair that old men always get, but you just keep going down the back.
I don't know whether this is just a Greek thing. It's the only place I've seen it. The bald, and this is stereotyping, and it's not meant in any way, but like the bald Greek waiters, they're bald all on top, and then they've got a ponytail at the back.
Oh, gosh. It's such a good look.
It's a strong look.
you got to have a goatee, but just the bottom part, not the mustache, and like some diamond earrings.
A soul patch.
Yeah, soul patch. Yes. Okay, that's it. I can see it now.
You've got a bit of a mustache going, or is your mustache longer than your beard, or is it all the same length?
You said that before, but it all grows. I shave it all down at the same time, so maybe the mustache is just strong. I don't know.
I've got mine back. Could you see mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got mine back.
I told you I was going to shave mine last time, and I didn't do it.
It's all right. You've got to be comfortable with yourself, Josh, and if you haven't quite got the self-confidence like me, I can understand it. Don't worry.
All right. What's the other divisions doing?
Okay, right. I've forgot about... We're so terrible here, aren't we? We ain't got to go, speed it up, speed it up.
He is good for something.
Yeah. MA1 was won by Harry Pierce. Is he a local lad?
Yeah, Harry is probably the best forehand thrower in the UK.
Good lad.
He won the event. Well, I don't know if this was the winning shot, but he hit a circle two, edge of circle one, so just outside, scoober on the last hole of the tournament.
He was, I'm just looking at the results, he only won in the finals.
Yeah, Keane was, what, three strokes up? Four strokes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, I don't know what happened there with Adam Keane, because he's normally Mr. Ice, isn't he?
Yeah, I assumed it would be Keane, Harry Pierce, Sam Prasad, who didn't actually play, and maybe Bubba, kind of in contention for the MA1. Oh, Sharky, sorry, Sharky.
Yeah, Sharky.
Kind of like that would be like the top five, I assumed.
Yeah, we had Ian Popplestone in third, and Sharky in fourth, and then one of my favourite men in disc golf, Mr. Stanley Valentine in fifth.
Yeah, he's all right.
I'm very impressed with Stan. He seems to be doing all right. Like, he seems to be doing quite well. He had a hiccup at Noah's thing, but I think it was just one of them days. It was dead icy, and I just think he had a crap first round and thought, oh, I'm never going to get this back. But actually shot a really good second round. But he's been right up there this year, hasn't he? Starting off. The next division was MA40, which was won by Ray Donnelly. Then it was MA50. And we had Kevin Allen Walker winning it, with Jonathan Bone in second. He's a local lad, isn't he?
Yeah, we call him Trom.
Why?
Trombone.
Oh, God. I should have thought about that.
Shout out to Trombone, by the way. The guy is relentless on the litter picking on the course and probably does like 20 black bags of litter a year at least.
So good lad.
He's the man.
That's a good effort.
Yeah.
Duncan Evans and Rich Wood tied third, Tim Herring in fifth, and pretty much a lad who should have won it but was conned out of it. And some would say, because in the Chains team are slightly anti-establishment, it was done on purpose. But the Condor came sixth with a DNF, which I think's unfair on him, to be honest. But I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, Phil, what was going on, mate? I don't know if Phil listens, to be honest. Why would you listen to this crock of shit, to be honest? But you best not have done it on purpose, mate. Not that that's not a threat or anything, by the way. Let me just add that here in now. But yeah, so there we go. MA60 was won by Dan Hawkins. Dan Hippie Hawkins.
Yeah.
And I've met him once, I think. Nice bloke. With John Shanley in second and Marek Nowak in third. MA2 was absolutely dominated by a local lad. And I haven't met him, but I do know his name. Magnus Wilson. Do you play with Magnus a lot? Or
not a lot. He's a really nice guy. He's one of the ultimate converts. And
oh, sod him then.
Yeah, no, he's good. I was happy to see one.
He played. He had a storm in.
What was tournament, what was to the be score? Fair.
4 under.
Oh, nice.
He'd have tied MA1 with that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Which maybe brings into question, Magnus, why weren't you playing in MA1?
Ooh.
He'd have actually come third in MPO, to be honest, with that score. But we're not going to go. We're not going to throw malicious words around like sandbagger or anything. We'll leave it nice. Gareth Vickers, good lad, came second. Gareth, I have to say this. You always see him smile. I've never seen him unhappy ever. Have you?
I don't think I have.
No, he is always smiling no matter what he's doing. We had Robbie Bancroft in third in MA2. In FA2, we had Terry Pospisilova winning it, local girl.
Yeah.
Claire Champanel in second.
Yeah.
And then we had Mariana Larocque in third. In MA3, we had Tom Odie. Odie? Is he a local lad?
He's from the Isle of Wight.
So, semi-local. It's a bit weird, the Isle of Wight, that place.
He said they have a course, maybe more than one, I can't remember. But
oh, really?
Yeah. He said it's very windy, so...
He's a new player from the looks of it, looking at his number. 242,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, MA4. So, yeah.
MA3.
Oh, MA3, sorry. You're right.
Winning MA3. Something Duffy's been trying for the last 3 years and still hasn't done. Was that uncalled for? You're shaking your head at me.
No, I was shaking my head because Duffy hasn't won yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, wait. Where did Duffy finish? I guess you'll get there in a second, but...
Oh, it might take a while.
Ooh.
I'm joking. Julius Verbicus, good thrower, to be fair. Duffy always has good words to say about him. Always says he's a really good player. And says he can throw it a long way. He came second. Christian Joseph came third. Local lad. Good lad. Duffy was mixing it up. He was on the league card, but he just didn't have a very good third round, and he came tied seventh in the end. He didn't quite make it to finals by one shot. He didn't make it, so unfortunate.
Yeah, they were the card in front of us on the third round, and he kind of looked at me towards the end and just kind of like did one of these, where he's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like looked at me on hole seven and just goes, I was like, oh my God.
Hole seven was where he scored a seven over to be, a triple, or was it a quadruple? He got a seven on it. Is it a par three
triple,
or a par four?
Yeah, four.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's where the issue was. In FA3, it was Christine Jarve. I'll have to ask Sammy, because I think... I don't know if she's Finnish or Estonian. She's from Norway. She's from Norway. So, Sammy will probably be able to help with the... not translation. What's pronunciation? That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
In MA4, we had Edward Smith winning it with Benjamin Chandor in second. So, well done. Well done to everyone who turned up. Great event. Something's happened that I'm going to gloss over after this week. We're not going to talk about it again, but Phil, don't go messing up our boy again. I'm only messing. Right, so let's get on to the second event, which had 59 players at. 179 players over the weekend playing disc golf in competitive tournaments.
Pretty great.
This was the Spring Sling at Litchfield. FP50, Sue Underwood, well done. MP55, William B. Woodward, well done. MA1, Nick Sampson, well done. That's quite a stacked field, to be fair. I'm surprised we didn't see some of them at the Mistral, because we had Liam Pitt, Harry Messenger, and Shane Cooper and Dan Lease in it. So
nice.
It's quite a... I know it was Dan Lease's home course, so it's his... It, like, you want to play your own course in a tournament.
Yeah.
FA1 was won by Elva Preston.
Nice.
With Melody Zender in second, Natalie Ekin in third, and Laura Fife in fourth. Laura Fife is from Scotland.
Yes.
I'm almost sure.
Yeah.
Travelled all the way down for fair play for that. MA40 was won by John Gom, who's a good lad. Know him, spoke to him a few times.
He's the guy that had the horns on his head at Unprofessional.
Oh, he is, yeah.
That tripped me out.
That hat was a bit rascal, let's put it that way. But each to their own, yeah. He's a nice lad. So with Dave Woodhead in second and Paul Chick in third. MA50 was won by Craig French with Andrew Douse coming second. FA55 was won by Katrina Archibald. MA60 was won by Steve Harding. MA2 by Graham Wilson. FA2 by Orphelia Byrne. MA3 by Byron Humphreys. FA3 by Laura Kenny. And MA4 by Scott McKay. FA4 by Kelly Martin.
Oh, my Lord.
MJ8, we're still going. Which is great to see every division covered.
Yeah.
It's great. MJ18 by Ollie Carey. MJ15 by Peter Douse. FJ15 by Esme Martin. And FJ12 by Noreen Woodhead.
There you go, Noreen.
So, there we go. I got it right. And I shouldn't have emphasised it. I should have just said it casually, like I get it right all the time.
I'll edit it out. You'll sound. Sound.
We're never going to get her name wrong again, let's put it that way. So, yeah, nuts really. That's the UK thing. You want to talk about some US stuff, though, don't you?
I was just, before we got on the show tonight, I was just watching some coverage from the disc golf guy at Throw Down the Mountain, which it's an off week for the tour, so there's not a lot of pros playing it, so it's not a big deal, but it is a cool course and a cool property. And I was just listening to coverage, and they said that Paul McBeth just bought the property with Dylan Cease, that major league pitcher for the White Sox.
Does he play? Does he play then?
Yeah, he plays disc golf. So you would see him. It was like the charity round at Funky Farms at that UFC guy's place.
Ben Askren.
Yeah, Ben Askren. He's played in that like celebrity doubles thing. But yeah, I think he loves it. Obviously, I think this is the second course he's invested in. So bloody that's yeah. Cool because there's not like permanent tees at this place, and it looks a little rough around the edges, but it's a really cool course, really good shots, elevation. You don't really get elevation in Florida very often, so it'd be cool to see what they do to that and if it returns to the tour ever.
Nice.
I say return. I don't even know if it was ever on the tour, but I'll edit it to make me sound smart if I'm wrong.
Was this it was run by, what's the shop? Is it Sun Kings Disc Golf? Was it run by them?
Yeah, I think so. But this is like the 11th Throw Down the Mountain, I believe.
Nice.
But yeah, it's that epic, like, over 1,000-foot hole where you're throwing down, and it's just like a straight fairway with, like, trees on either side. It's, like, kind of the signature hole.
It's
fun to play. But yeah, so that was going down. I'm pretty sure Paul won it. I haven't finished the coverage, but he looks like he's spanking everyone. But yeah, and then FPO was won by Natalie Ryan. And this tournament, the FPO winner, there's one spot given to the winner for the Throw Pink Women's Disc Golf Championships, and Natalie got that, and she's legally allowed to play Throw Pink. But
she's been banned from the tour, hasn't she?
I'm not sure. It's not all the events. I think it kind of depends on what state they're being held in. As to whether she can play or not. And obviously, that whole case is still ongoing with the PDGA. But, yeah. So, the Linz sisters, do you know them? Morgan Lenz and I think not Stacy.
Yeah, they did. They come second and third.
Yeah, but their mom went on a tyrant or tirade, basically on the internet, was just saying, you know, my daughters won first and second, not second and third. They lost to a man and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but it just doesn't seem like the right way to go about, you know, just blasting that on the internet. She's got a legal right to be there and play, and they didn't beat her. So,
yeah. Yeah, so I want to be careful about what I say because I don't want to offend anyone, and I don't mean to offend anyone by saying what I'm saying. I'm not the most clued up, but like I say, a lot of sports are banning trans athletes, rightly or wrongly. And it's sort of, if a trans athlete has a physical advantage, then they're going to get banned. And whether that's the right thing or the wrong thing, I can see disc golf being... Because, again, I don't want to offend women. Men have a physical advantage over women in disc golf. That's a fact. Like, the best man will throw further than the best woman. So it's not up to us to make the decision, is it? It's
no, but you know, like at the end of the day, like you're saying, whether you agree with her being able to play in FPO or not, it's not about, you know, trashing the lifestyle of that. Like, people should be able to live how they want, and that's fine. But yeah, it's a different arena when you step into sports, where they could gain an advantage, but you don't have to be hateful about it. I don't think so. We'll see what happens with it. A lot of people are saying that it's going to affect, you know, how trans athletes are perceived in other sports around the world, this particular case. And I think there is some truth to that. But, you know, for now, she's allowed to play a few events, and good on her for winning the one she can get in. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, just people, you know, just need to calm down a bit. We're at a crossroads, and it's going to take a little time to figure things out, but no one needs to be hating on anyone. And on that note, I think we're at the end of the show.
I think we're pretty much up. These things need talking about sometimes, though, Josh, don't they? Like, it's sometimes you have to get the awkward conversations out. Do you think we come to the end?
I think so. I mean, if I were Duffy right now, I'd probably be like, all right, guys, let's come on, wrap it up. Does that sound about right?
I just want to stay on the line with you forever, Josh. Can we do that? Can we get off of this and just like FaceTime each other for a bit, or forget the podcast, forget everyone else, just me and you?
I'm gonna probably have to break my diet and start drinking.
On that note, let's call it a night.
All right. Well, as always, remember to
keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
I'm glad you signed off with that, because I can't ever remember how we sign off.
Yeah. I thought there's like probably a little bit before that, right before he says that, but I don't know. Hopefully he comes back next week. I kind of missed him.
I didn't.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.